Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Montreal's messiest sandwich, Dagwood's Chili Dag, with pepperoni, cheese, peppers, onions. Dagwood's famous chili and sauce comes with a bib.
In New York for the Original Six matchup on NBC Sports Rivalry Night between the Rangers and Blackhawks. Pierre, how are you?
I'm good, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. So we've reached that point. Maybe it's taken a little longer than I thought it would, but here we... Somebody's pointing fingers.
That happens. This is where, again, the leadership part of the group has to separate itself and show that they're above the fray. Now, I would say this. Ron's been around the league for a long time, talking about Ron Fournier. And I'm sure he has some pretty in-depth sources around the Canadiens in particular. So it wouldn't surprise me if he probably got some nibbles on that stuff. That wouldn't surprise me at all because people always have an agenda. There's no question about that. And that's why I said what I said yesterday. As long as everybody's in it together and everybody's not afraid or intimidated about sharing opinion, then you can get these things fixed. But if you've got guys, one guy goes in one corner and whispers out the side of his mouth to one writer, and then another guy's in another corner and he whispers to another writer, and they're trying to curry favor with different guys in the media, especially in a volatile media market like Montreal, you can have these kinds of things, and that's why leadership is such an important part of it. And it goes back to, again, when we grew up, we were so spoiled. Jean Beliveau, Yvonne Cornway, Larry Robinson, Serge Savard. That stuff didn't happen because those guys nailed it. If you went against the leadership core of those teams, what happened to you, Mitch? You got dispatched to parts unknown, never to be heard of again.
So what's happened? Well, we're at that stage now. Clearly, what you're talking about, whispering out of the side of your mouth, Ron's not going to invent something like that. And,
no, that's why I said.
Yeah, and that's why he knows.
I mean, that's not an easy thing to report.
So somebody,
right?
what I find distasteful, obviously, is that it's covering your rear end time. It's, you know, it's apparent to everybody that the season is lost. It's a it's a collapse of historic proportion here in Montreal, and people are starting to point fingers outward rather than take responsibility. And I said early in the show, the only guy, no matter what you think of the job he's done, the only guy who has taken full responsibility is the general manager, who said it's on me.
Correct. And I respect that about him. I do. And that tells me about his experience as a player and about being around leaders. Mark didn't play on great teams all the time. He played on some, but not all. But the one thing he was around guys that understood leadership. And I think that's a huge part of what you bring to the job if you're going to be hired as a manager in the league. And so I really admire him for doing that, and I love the fact that he did do it.
So let's assume there's something there. We know that losing breeds discontent. We know that. And this, again, is losing and losing and losing and losing. So nobody, I don't think anybody is surprised that there's something going on in there. But the fact that it might be Subban and Pacioretty, who is the captain on the team, is that something to be concerned about longer term, looking ahead towards next year, the off season, or whatever?
This is where management fixes things and ownership fixes things, and you have a meeting. No matter what, every team does this at the end of the year. They have debriefs, and you figure out what went right, what went wrong, and how you're going to fix what went wrong, and how you're going to build off what went right. That's what the responsible teams do. And sometimes those exit interviews aren't exactly joyful. I've been in a few that haven't been a lot of fun. And so that's where the honesty factor comes in. But you have to also be cerebral enough to have enough ammunition to have broken down the season and have it so when you come in and you address the different players and they address you, that you're prepared to have an honest, forthright discussion. And you get things out in the air and you fix it. You fix it. Everything can be fixed. I think being a general manager in the league more than ever isn't so much about how smart you are as a hockey guy. It's how big a problem solver you are, how great a problem solver you are because of the advent of 24-hour day talk radio, because of the bloggers, because of the national TV exposure, because of all the different elements that are around the manifestation of agents and personal recruiters and posses and these things. This leads to stuff that we've never really had in the league before. And so you've got to be the ultimate problem solver if you're going to be a general manager in the league. And the teams that aren't having a lot of these troubles, a lot of them have guys that maybe aren't the brightest hockey guys. I'm sure they're smart, don't get me wrong, but they're really good problem solvers, and they're street smart. They're really street smart.
You're confident that this management group can solve this if, in fact, it is a serious issue?
Yes, yes. And I, knowing where they all come from, knowing how much they care about winning, knowing how much they support one another, I don't think there's any fray at all on the management side of things there. Obviously, it hasn't been an easy year. They have to address them. I personally, and again, trying not to run the team from afar, because I am afar. I watch their games. I don't watch them practice. But there's clearly a need for some roster revamping. That's very apparent. And I thought it was apparent at the beginning. That's why I told you. The problem with 5-on-5 scoring, it's huge. It's huge. And that's got to get fixed. It's got to be fixed.
But how much is on a coaching staff to make sure that you can't expect the season to go as sour as this one went? But once it starts to careem out of control, a coaching staff, I know that coaches are worried about their own jobs. I get that. I fully understand that. But your job as a coach is to keep the team together as well. So if you sense that there's two factions in the room or even more, I mean, what do you do as a coaching staff?
Well, once I find out what the factions are, and this is where you have to trust your trainers and your assistant coaches, once you find that out, we're taking care of it right away. It's, again, you get everybody together. Okay, here's what this guy thinks of you. Here's what this other guy thinks of you. Why do they think that of you? How are we going to fix this? Is it fixable? I mean, that's what you have to do. Again, those aren't very enjoyable meetings to be a part of. I've seen it happen on a few occasions. They're not fun at all, but you have to have them. And I'm sure the Canadians are thinking about a lot of different things right now.
Do you think one of them is trading PK Subban?
I don't know how that contract gets moved. I think that's a little bit of a problem with the potential of the cap not moving. A lot of these teams are budgeted for different things. I mean, I think any player can be traded. If Wayne Gretzky could be traded, anybody could be traded. You know, I'm in New York. They got Mark Messier from Edmonton. They got Kevin Lowe. I mean, I've seen a lot of really good players traded over time. So have you. So
well,
I think anybody can be traded.
The thing that bothers me, without, you know, obviously being in the middle of the room or anything, is that this sounds like the first step towards, because look, I went through the Gary Carter situation in the 80s, and I've drawn a lot of parallels to Subban and Carter as being these rambunctious, hogging the spotlight type of guys where once the game starts, you wanted them on your team. You wanted them to lead you, actually. And some people, PK's personality is too big for some people. I get it. I understand how some people can get easily annoyed. But this is, you're talking about individuals here, and he is who he is. So you got to figure out how to work with a talent like that rather than throw up your arms and say, this guy's too much. I can't take him anymore. I mean, what's the worst thing that he could be doing? The worst thing.
If he was doing it, it would be bad-mouthing guys in the dressing room. If, and I stress, if he was doing that would be the worst thing. You ask me, what's the worst thing he could be doing? The worst thing he could be doing is bad-mouthing guys in the room and making light of guys in the room. That doesn't work. And if he's doing that, shame on him. I don't know if he is or isn't. You're asking me a question. I'm getting, what's the worst thing he could, that would be the worst thing. That would be the, and then the other one, as I think about it, would be cheating himself and cheating the fans by not putting in the ultimate effort. But I don't see that being part of it, because again, I watch the games like the fans watch the games, and I haven't seen him mail it in. I haven't seen him mail it in at all.
Does the amount of communication between management and the coaching staff increase in a dire situation? And does the management team try to not necessarily impose solutions, but offer potential solutions on a daily basis when things are this bad?
Boy, I sure hope so. The hardest thing to do, I've told this to Mitch a million times, get your team out of a losing streak in the NHL. It's easy to coach in the league when you're winning. Ask Michel Therrien and the Canadiens in October, November, if it was easy to coach in the NHL, and then ask him what it's been like since December. It's been two different things. It's easy to coach when you're winning. It's hard to get your team out of a losing streak, Rod. And the most important thing is that everybody in the organization is working together to get the team out of a losing streak, whether it's the general manager going out and acquiring a player or moving away a disgruntled player or coming up with a roster plan that can help your team be better, or maybe there's a strategy from your pro scouting staff that can help you. There's a lot of different things that you have to really look at when you're trying to build your brand as an organization.
Breaking news, Pierre. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman upholds the 20-game suspension of Dennis Wiedemann of Calgary.
Had to. How could he not? He would have mutiny on the bounty with the officials.
Right.
I talk to these officials every single night. I mean, I'm down there. I'm with them. They come over and we talk during TV timeouts and I'm not building tapes. And I can tell you there is not one linesman, there's not one official in the league that would say Gary Bettman didn't have our back for enforcing this penalty. If he gave it down to the six mark, the six game mark, like some people were talking about, or the 10 game mark, I think he would have had a big problem with the officials in the league. There's not one official that agrees with what Wiedemann did. Not one.
He can go to a neutral arbitrator at this point. He's already served, I think they play tonight, so that would be his eighth game of this 20-game suspension. The question I would have, what took Bettman so long to make this announcement?
Well, no, it's a thorough process. He's talking to a lot of different people, I'm sure. I think I asked you the question a long time ago. How many games on a percentage basis has Donnie Henderson worked at the Calgary Flames that Wiedemann's been a part of? That's one of the first things I'd want to know. That takes time to get all those numbers. I mean, it does. Whether you know it or not, it takes time. I'd want to know that. I'd want to know if there was any previous altercations between the two, either on the ice or off the ice. I'd want to know that. So there are a lot of different fact-finding questions you have to ask as a commissioner. If you're going to be the arbiter in something like that, you're going to have to ask a lot of questions. It's going to take time to get all the answers to all that stuff.
Okay, so once again, Gary Bettman has upheld the 20-game suspension of Calgary defenseman Dennis Wiedemann. Last night,
it's Farnham and 2-2 on with Sergei Kalinin. There's a penalty coming up as Farnham got knocked down in the Flyer zone.
Jonas is going to be kicked out of the game here. I'm not sure exactly what he did.
Kalinin wants a piece of Ratko Gudas, who is done for the night.
There you see Bobby Farnham mixing it up a little with Schultz after he went up. Gianta Gudas comes across, and he interferes with him, blindsides him.
Pierre, we just had this conversation late last week. How many more times is the NHL going to watch a guy leave the ice after getting knocked around by Ratko Gudas? He got thrown out of the game, but there's no suspension. And I understand if you look at it, it's not a headshot or anything. Isn't the NHL Player Safety Department saying, listen, guys around the league, take care of this yourself?
I don't know if they're saying that.
Are they inviting it?
They've given him a little bit of room to basically get himself into trouble. And clearly, he hasn't really bought into everything that's going on around the league and the way the league's policing things. It's unfortunate. You know, Radko's a very good player, but he's always on the edge and sometimes even over. And you can see, again, that's a problem. It's a problem for him and the Flyers. Now, do I think they can fix him? Yeah, I do. I think he can get fixed. I think he can get fixed pretty quick.
All right, so one of the issues a lot of us had with PK, specifically on the ice, was Friday night in Buffalo when he was waving his arms around because the puck hit the linesman and Evander came,
right?
Last night, Pierre's in St. Louis.
Mareko shoots into the Dallas zone. Puck comes in front. Schwartz scores!
Third game back, second goal for Jaden Schwartz. Missed 49 games out of Colorado College. Heart and soul guy. We talked about his engine being revved up. Colton Parayko, his skating ability, gets to the red line, shoots it in. Crazy carom off the boards for Kari Laitinen, but great pursuit by Jaden Schwartz. You see Parayko gain the line. The puck flutterballs up in the air, takes a crazy carom, and there's the quick stick of Jaden Schwartz to put it home. Wow. Did that touch the referee's skate, Kenny? I couldn't tell from that angle.
Clearly, from where Pierre is situated between the benches, you needed the replay, and it was quite clear. It went right off the official to Jaden Schwartz, who scored in an open net. Not only that,
Schuster swings it behind it, and it hit the referee, and Thornton makes a steal. A feed in front, shot score, Carlson. Incredible. Unbelievable. Referee gets in the way. Part of the game, And now they're going to call a penalty on Hedman.
Go ahead, Dwyer. That's the only thing you can do.
Well, Dwyer gets a second assist on that one. It's 4-2 Sharks.
Yeah, very professional broadcast there. Dave Mishkin and Phil Esposito. And Victor Hedman shot the puck along the ice at the referee, and he got thrown out of the game. What are the odds of three of these happening in, like, 4 days?
I don't know, but I would tell you this. What I really admire about Dallas last night, that was a whole lot of bad luck, obviously, for Kari Laitinen and obviously for the team. And they were road weary. They were fatigued. I mean, they were really laboring in that game. They never complained. And they were screened out, too. They probably didn't know it went off the official Kelly Sutherland's foot until they got to the room. In that corner of the rink, when you're working on the benches or between the benches in St. Louis there, it's really hard to see the far end of the ice on the near side corner, and that's where the puck went off of Sutherland. But I really admired that from Lindy and from their team. They didn't complain. They eventually got a point in the game. But now the referees are part of it, and the game happens faster and faster all the time. You think Kelly Sutherland in that game really meant to do that? He didn't mean to do that. In that game, by the way, think about it if you're a fan of the game. Jay Bouwmeester was killing a penalty, and he rifled one in the third period up and over the glass. And it hit a fan who had a lot of time, probably had over 120 feet to react to the puck. It hit a fan square in the face, and it was horrifying to see. I was talking to Von Roddy, the other linesman who was working, and they ran over to the Dallas Stars credit again. Jordy Ben grabbed the towel. He saw it right away from the bench, and he skated right over to the security people in the stands. But that's a fan that had 120 feet to react and see that puck coming at him. Never reacted. That just tells you how fast these things go. It's not that easy. So for the officials, how's he going to get out of the way? He probably didn't even see that puck coming in.
That was the least demonstrative goal signal I've ever seen a referee give. Yeah. He felt so bad. All right. The Rangers. You got the Rangers and Blackhawks tonight. Ryan McDonough's back?
Supposedly. He missed four games. Supposedly he's back. They got issues here. I don't know if Mark Stahl's playing or not. His wife's about to have their second child. Could have already had it. I don't know. But that's the word on the street here in New York. Danny Boyle's really sick with the flu or something like that, so he may not play. So they got some issues on the back end. It's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be an interesting game. Now, go back to opening night. The Rangers won in Chicago 3-2. It was a tremendous game. And the Rangers kind of got off to a good start this season because of that win. So, again, they don't play again after this. It'll be interesting to watch this game tonight, I think.
You know, in professional sports, it's tough to have success unless you're engaged emotionally and you have that edge, you know. I mean, sometimes it's fine for somebody to even cross the line a little bit, you know, just to bring that emotion. I think it's important, and that's what we need from here on in. We need guys to be playing with heavy hearts and emotional, and, we just didn't have that today. We didn't have everybody at their best today.
After the loss in Arizona, tonight in Colorado against Patrick Waugh and the Avalanche, what would you expect tonight, especially in light of these reports?
Well, Montreal obviously has to play well, and I think that's going to be something to watch. But Colorado's going to be coming full bore. They're just barely hanging on, and they know it too. So this is where you got to be aware of Nathan MacKinnon. This is where you don't want to give up a lot of power play opportunities. Tyson Berry's been outstanding for Colorado on the back end on the power play. You got to be aware of him. The Duchesne MacKinnon matchup thing is going to be interesting for the Canes to play against them, especially at altitude. Those guys have a little extra jump when they're playing in Denver. This is a matchup game. I will tell you this straight up. This is a coaching structure matchup game for the Canadians. If they don't have structure and they don't have matchups, they're not winning. I'll tell you that right now. So that's what it has to be. And it's not a lot of times during the regular season where you could say a coach has to bring his A game in order for the team to win. The coach tonight has to bring his A game for this team to win tonight in Colorado.
Enjoy your night at MSG. We'll do it again tomorrow. Thank you, Pierre.
Thanks a lot, Mitch. I really appreciate it. Have a great night, everybody.